anybody else.
Arguments are not going to attract people. Winning is going to attract people.
Radio.
The Poor People's Riot, as they call it, was necessary, it was reasonable, and it was just.
Radio.
And if you get in my way to make sure that our man gets housing, or that he gets enough to eat, I will move you.
Radio.
Okay.
Hello and welcome to OCAP Radio, hosted by Kelly and Kelly here on CKLN 88.1 FM. Well, it's a brand new year and a brand new decade, but we here at OCAP Radio are going to take this show and we're going to look back at the year 2009. We feel that it's important to take a moment or 30 moments to reflect on the achievements of this organization because they are numerous and noteworthy. And it's important to recognize the good work of resistance that OCAP is able to continuously sustain. And on that note, I'm going to turn the mic over to Kelly to report on these numerous achievements.
Hi. So I'm going to begin by talking about TCHC in 2009, and I think the way I'm going to start is just by going over some facts, and then I'm going to go into some actions, and then we'll go from there. So let's get into the facts. Okay. So the waiting list for social housing is, there are 70,000 families waiting for subsidized housing in Toronto. And just to give you a visual, that means the Rogers Center seats up to 50,000 people. That means including family members, you could potentially seat the Rogers Center twice with people who are waiting to get into subsidized housing. The average waiting time for affordable housing in Ontario is 5 years. That's in Ontario. But we often have people that come into our office stating that they have been waiting for over 10 years. Nearly 60,000 units of public housing in Toronto are being allowed to deteriorate. TCHC has over $300 million in a backlog in repairs, and the city claims they do not have enough money, but the police budget for 2010 is proposed at $899.1 million. The estimated cost for the Pan Am Games in Toronto is already set at $2.4 billion. Despite the long waiting lists, the city has proposed the sell-off of 326 apartment units and 45 single-family homes. Now, on May 23rd, 2009, we organized a rally and a lunch outside 13 Trafan. Now, 13 Trafan is one of the houses proposed to be sold. We demanded that the house be maintained and used for housing. Another organizing thing we did around TCHC is earlier this year there was organizing for rent for repairs in Gordon Ridge. And basically what they were doing is saying, we don't want to pay the rent because you're not repairing our units. Many tenants in the community demand that the landlord repair. And as a result of organizing in that community, people living there were able to get 15 new kitchens, 10 new washrooms, 36 pest control in units, 7 units refloored, 8 units repainted, replacements of carpets, fridge, stove, and other such miscellaneous things. And in 40 Gordon Ridge, they actually had their carpets replaced in the common areas of the building. That is one of the ways that we've struggled in these communities so that people who are living in subsidized housing can live in dignity and live in a community that is, you know, well-maintained. And I think that's a fair thing to ask from a landlord, frankly. That's my opinion.
I agree with you.
Yeah. Another action we had was around a gentleman named Edmundo. So in early October, he came into our office and with concerns over his rental increase at Toronto Community Housing. Edmundo is a TCHC tenant that pays market rent and has paid market rent for some time. Last year, his rent was $979, and this reflects what TCHC considers the market value of their unit, and they apparently reappraised his unit and decided it was now worth $1,290. Now, this is a massive rental increase when the legislative amount for the regular person in market rent is actually only 1.8%. His increase was literally 30%. So I think it's important to point out, too, that Edmundo lives in Moss Park in an old building with many serious repair issues. And the conditions in that unit, in that building, are so bad that Canada Post refused to send mail there for a time being because they didn't feel it was clean and safe to enter. So what we did was we talked with TCHC and we asked them to explain why this person received a 30% increase. We didn't just talk with them, actually. We went down there with a group of people. We met with, you know, one of their workers that they send that they very diligently have sit with us and are very pleasant, but is just the way they operate. And their answer was the reason why Edmendo got a 30% rental increase is because he was originally a subsidized tenant, and they are a social housing unit, so they are not legally required to abide by the 1.8% guideline increase. Well, of course, we demanded that this was not acceptable. We had planned to have a luncheon out front of the doors of 931 Yonge Street, basically trying to make money to pay his rent. But TCHC, of course, realized they didn't want this to happen and that they would probably have a lot of difficulty around explaining to all their market tenants why the guideline increase didn't apply to them. So they wrote him a letter of apology, put his rent back to last year's amount, and cut him a check for all the money they owed him. This is an important thing because TCHC right now is building a lot of new housing in Regent Park, which is, of course, prime real estate, which means that they're going to have many market rent tenants that won't like it if their units get reappraised 30% higher and then all of a sudden they have to pay a large amount. But, of course, to them, they make a distinction between the tenants they have that are subsidized and the tenants they have that are originally market rent. And I think they don't like it getting out that TCHC has an unfair rental policy for market rent tenants who originally were subsidized. Okay, so here's some background. TCHC is currently appraising many of its properties. There are many tenants out there that are feeling the hint of this increase and some other stuff. Did you know that many people on the waiting list are currently living in subsidized units but paying market rent? How does this happen? Uh-huh. For a brief period in time, these families made enough money to pay the cost of market rent. That means that once your income exceeds the 30%, like if your 30% exceeds the amount of the market rent, you become a market rent tenant. You actually lose your subsidy. And then if you lose your job next year and your income plummets, you can't get back that subsidy. But you can still live in that unit. And if you want that subsidy back, you basically have to be put back into the pot with everybody else and wait years upon years upon years to get subsidized rent. So when you hear stats like 70,000 families are waiting for subsidized housing, some of those people are actually living in those units. And of course, that's kind of counterintuitive, right? What are they waiting for? Are they waiting for subsidy or are they waiting for housing? If they have housing, then they should be able to get subsidy once they already have the unit. So that's kind of...
Absolutely. And Kelly, can I ask you, what's TCHC's response to that? Why won't they give people the subsidy?
I don't actually know the answer to that. What I do know is I used to be I am a TCHC tenant, and I know the policy used to be different. About, I think, 8 or 10 years ago, it used to be that whether you hit market rent or not, you could go back to subsidy, and then they just stopped doing that. You would think that the logic of that is that they're trying maybe not to keep tenants in. So once you reach market rent value, maybe they're trying to push people out so that most people won't choose to stay in dilapidated housing if they can afford market rent. But the problem is that people who are poor, even if their income increases slightly for a couple of years, they often are in very marginalized working places. So they end up losing those jobs or they end up getting pay cuts or...
Right, kind of the precarious workforce they belong to.
That's right. They're part of that precarious workforce. Okay.
All right, so now we're going to listen to a song from Mark.
Our techie?
Our esteemed techie.
And Susie.
There's a new dance that's going around. When the stars are blind, you've got to get down. All the young people dance around the square. The whole crowd grew. Yeah.
The horses are on the track.
And we're going to go into some actions we've had around that, and then we'll just keep going from there. So, of course, everyone knows that 2009 began in an economic crisis that we're all still experiencing. Many people have become unemployed. Many others that are not recognized in the numbers of unemployed are on welfare and disability, scraping a living. And, of course, the government is bailing out the rich, which is fun. Yeah.
No one likes.
Yeah. November 5th, OCAP, in alliance with the CFS, called for a poverty-free Ontario. We demanded affordable and accessible housing, increased social housing and access to proper shelter supports, decent income, increased social assistance by 40%, increased unemployment insurance and minimum wage, status for all immigrants and refugees, access to services without fear, and justice for First Nations, and to stop the economic warfare and recognize sovereignty of First Nations. Now, on November 5th, we marched into the heart of the financial district to confront the very institutions that represent or have been bailed out by the government. I'm just going to go through kind of what happened that day, and so it just doesn't, so you know where we're going. A small group of us stormed the Albany Club, and the Albany Club is one of the oldest private clubs in Canada. This is the type of place where conservatives get together and negotiate and plan and make backroom deals. While people in the city are starving, the members of the Albany Club are sipping on $400 bottles of wine and smoking $500 cigars. This place is located literally blocks away from the shelters that homeless people live in. We stormed into the Albany Club to say that we did not create the crisis and we will not pay for it. One of the heights of this march was our banner drop of the BMO at the corner of King and Bay. Our banner said capitalism is broken, and it had like a huge OCAP sign. It was very nice. This banner took many hours to make, and it truly was a proud moment to see the banner unfold while BMO workers inside were just kind of looking outside in confusion. We continued to march. We marched down King towards Bay. We continued to march to outside Flaherty's office, the federal finance minister, and we burned an effigy in his name and the name of other such financial ministers, cronies of capitalism, whatever. Another way that we have dealt with the economic crisis and tried to fight against it and help poor people in our communities is through our special diet. Our special diet campaign. There are over 10,000 people in Toronto who depend on the special diet. The special diet is a benefit that people on welfare and disability can access if they have it filled out by a doctor. People can receive up to $250 per person in their family. The city and the media have been on the attack against a special diet. They have been trying to eliminate this special diet by seriously restricting how people can access it.
Mm. How are they restricting that, Kelly?
One of the ways the city and province is currently doing this is by changing the special diet policy by allowing social services workers to deny forms that have been filled out by doctors. And the way they can do that now, and this is actually quite a new development, is by basically determining of their own accord whether or not they think there has been either a fraud or that they just don't believe that these people have these conditions. So basically you have untrained social workers, untrained meaning they're not trained in the medical profession, mm-hmm. determining the validity of doctors' prescriptions, basically. And
wow. So, and they're able to do this, they're allowed.
Yeah, they are now allowed. Officially, wow. As of the last month, they are allowed to assess whether or not they think these forms are okay or not okay. So a lot of people are now being denied the special diet. I guess the point I'm trying to make, the bigger point, is that non-medical workers are allowed to make judgments about medical decisions. This means that many people with conditions that require special diet will be denied by the whim of a worker. Now, there are many okay workers out there. I work as a caseworker at OCAP, so I don't generally deal with those ones. But many think that the money...
You deal with only the evil ones.
Yes, the wicked evil ones. No, I don't mean it like that. Okay. Many think that many workers actually kind of feel like the money that recipients get is coming out of their pocket. And And they behave like that. And they often discriminate and they harass and they deny people these types of benefits based on, you know, kind of their feeling of the day. So some of the other things we've done related to the special, one other thing that's happening is the College of Physicians and Surgeons is currently conducting an investigation against Dr. Wong, and he's a very dedicated and respected doctor, and he has been integral in the special diet. At this point, they are denying all applications signed by him, even though it doesn't actually directly state in the policy that that should happen. We did have quite a powerful demonstration at Metro Hall on December 9, 2009. 250 people occupied the 12th floor demanding that the city process forms filled in by Dr. Wong. They stated the response we got was that they were waiting on the province for direction, and actually the development I just told you about is that direction. So a small group of people, after a bunch of people left, there was still a strong group of people up there who wanted to stay and hold the office in the hopes that they would change their mind and at least accept the forms, which, of course, they didn't do. There was about, I would say, 20 of us still up there. There was about 20 of us who held the floor for 3 hours, and only once we were threatened with criminal charges did we decide to leave the fight for another day and go home. The special diet is just one of many examples of how the city and province is making it really difficult for poor in these economic times. This is a crunch time for everybody, but the poor people are going to experience this squeeze more than anybody, of course. And it's not the banks, not the rich. The people who experience the worst of the economic crisis, it's welfare recipients that have to pay, you know, it's welfare recipients that are still feeling the squeeze from the 21.6% cut down by Mike Harris in the 90s. It's TCHC tenants living in dilapidated housing that feel these cuts. It's workers like Gaetan, who was on our show last week, that are feeling the fall down. It's homeless people that will have to travel 3 hours to Scarborough to get ID. We just had an action a couple days ago where we literally walked from street health to neighborhood link in order to illustrate how difficult it is for someone who doesn't have TTC fare to get their ID. And if you're not getting TTC fare there, you're also not getting it back. So that's literally a six-hour walk. And if you don't have food in your belly and you don't have money in your pocket, that's just very sad.
And it's also for a population that requires low barriers to access this, so that's an enormous barrier.
That's right, and also they're not even given, like if you live in the street health neighborhood and you live downtown at Dundas and, you know, Sherbourne, you won't be given a ticket by street health to go to Neighborhood Link.
No?
So you won't even get on, you won't get tokens, you won't get, and now the TTC is going up to $3, right? So this is a huge crunch for people who obviously don't have
that
the money.
Money, absolutely.
For this.
Yeah.
I guess another thing that's happening is on November 17th, you may know that the TTC voted on a 25-cent fare hike, raising fares to $3 that we're all going to feel by January 3rd. I actually almost forgot, and I almost paid $3 this morning.
oh, wow.
The Metro passes will increase from 109 to 121. Some people I know have already had the luxury of having to pay for that. During the TTC council meeting on the fare hike, TTC representatives made it very clear that it's very likely that they will be requesting a 25-cent increase for the next 4 years. So that literally means in 4 years' time, it will be $4 a ride and $8 a round trip. This fare hike obviously affects the poorest in the city, its single mothers, the working poor, the homeless, the recently unemployed, welfare recipients, and various other poor groups that will be hardest hit by this fare increase. Poor people cannot afford Metro passes. They are too expensive even at current rates, and this means that poor people will be the hardest hit by the fare hike because they do not have the financial means to throw down the $121 for a Metro pass. So on December 12th, OCAP members and supporters gathered at City Hall to say no to the TTC fare hike. We wanted to make it clear to the city and the province that this fare increase will massively affect poor communities. We chanted slogans, we had invigorating speeches, and then we took over a streetcar. In the streetcar, people chanted slogans like TTC should be free. They entered the streetcar going westbound. We presented the TTC driver with OCAP transfers, and this OCAP transfer basically says we can't pay for the hike. This is our transfer in replace of TTC. Banners were dropped outside of the Queen streetcar. We then got off that streetcar, attempted to go on a streetcar going eastbound, had some difficulties. We took over the street, got on the next streetcar after that. And again, we chanted, and many of the passengers on the streetcar actually joined in, because it's everybody who's being affected by the TTC fare hike. So it was, we're looking into a campaign on that in the future.
So now, this was an amusing situation. The TTC driver wouldn't stop for you guys, is what I heard.
Yeah, on the second TTC driver wouldn't.
So you used the power of resistance and stood in front of a streetcar.
That's right. That's right.
Well, that's great. And so that was most of the campaigns involving the economy and held by OCAP over the year. But we want to point out as well that what we're doing here is a reflection, and it's not, this doesn't adequately reflect every single campaign that OCAP has done.
Absolutely.
Over the last year. This is merely a sampling of the different campaigns. And now another musical interlude.
What is about? There's something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
Review of the year 2009, we want to give a moment to talk about the different campaigns that OCAP has supported, but not particularly led, through different groups that OCAP has supported over the year. In January of 2009, OCAP supported the people of Gaza as Israel attacked them. And the statement that OCAP wrote was, the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty joins with millions of people around the world who stand up and condemn and resist the Israeli attack on Gaza and wants to applaud the courage and strength of the Palestinian people in Gaza, the West Bank, and around the world. So that was something that OCAP felt was really important. That was in the first breaking days of 2009, the horrifying attack on Palestine. In April of 2009, CN launched a racist lawsuit against Sean Brandt, Jason Miracle, and Tara Green of the Tiendanega Mohawk Territory. Now, they launched this lawsuit against these people and their families and the community. They named John and Jane Doe in their suit. CN's lawsuit was in response to a blockade on CN tracks on Tiendanega territory that took place in April 2007. And they had another lawsuit against Sean Brandt for a blockade on June 29, 2007. CN has not yet specified the amount in damages they're seeking, but we know it'll be a large and ridiculous amount. Now, statements of defense and counterclaims have been filed against CN, claiming that CN pollutes Tiendanega lands, creates a nuisance by the noise their operation causes, and scares away game. And CN has filed a motion asking the courts to strike much of these downs. Now, this was all argued in court on April 7th, and the judge has not yet ruled on CN's lawsuit against Tiendanega, but however, they did rule on the countersuit and have dismissed the countersuit. Unfortunately, evil people. In June 2009, OCAP presented a statement of solidarity with the Mohawks of Akwesasne. OCAP was offering full support, solidarity, and respect to the actions taken by the community of Akwesasne, which have prevented the Canadian Border Services agencies from arming officers on its land. It's an important position that they were taking there. Canada was sending in armed guards onto their territory, and Akwesasne was able to resist that. Mm-hmm. And then OCAP further in June 2009 was supporting Queers Against the Apartheid, who were marching in the Pride Parade for, I believe, the first time Queers Against Apartheid were marching in that. And that's a group here in Toronto where, it might be international, but it was a part of the group here in Toronto working in solidarity with queers in Palestine and the Palestinian resistant movements around the world. And finally, OCAP was supporting of the Indigenous Sovereignty Week. That was held this past year, October 25th to November 1st. Now, that's an annual thing that OCAP promotes and supports each year. Its purpose is to build local relationships between groups and individuals, disseminate ideas of Indigenism, and generally contribute to building a cross-Canada movement for Indigenous rights, self-determination, and justice that is led by Indigenous communities, but with a broad base of informed support. Now, I'd like to... we've already pointed out that what we're highlighting today is a sampling of what OCAP has achieved this year, and it doesn't even touch on the important and serious work done every day by OCAP, both in the office and by its members throughout Toronto. And we look now, we look forward to, as John Clark is predicting, the total destruction of the capitalist, patriarchal, colonial system of oppression that we live under. It's going to be great over this next year of resistance and victory. And we'd like to thank Mark Brill for teching our shows, Susie from CKLN for her support, and all of those of you out there listening to OCAP Radio on CKLN 88.1 FM. Now, if you'd like to support OCAP, please go to OCAP.ca to join or make a financial contribution. And up next is Ventana Albario with Maria Elena Escobar. Thanks and good night.
Good night. We'll be right back.
to start sometime. What better place than here? What better time than now?